Thank you for listening to this audio recording from LimoPlanet 2020 Free the Future. The following talk was presented at LimoPlanet, the Free Software Foundation's annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology. For more information on LimoPlanet, visit limoplanet.org/conference. LimoPlanet is a live conference with speakers who often use visual slides in their presentations. We have only selected talks for this audio feed that do not overly rely on visuals, but if you would like to see a speaker's slides, they are available at media.limoplanet.org. LimoPlanet speakers do not represent the Free Software Foundation. As part of our mission to show how important free software is to everyone, we have speakers talking about their use of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take positions on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedoms of all computer users, LimoPlanet is made possible by thousands of individuals who, like you, donate what they can. To keep this work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Chapel Hill. Thanks for bearing with us through some of the technical difficulties, of course, because, you know, AV difficulties never happen at a regular conference. Just one moment while I actually fire up some slides. I just wanted to appear and prove to you that I am here and this is live. And here we go. Congratulations again to all of our award winners. I want to close out today by talking about something that we at the FSF believe is an urgent need that every one of you can help with. And I'm so glad we are able to gather online like this, even though we had to cancel the in-person event. And in fact, that's part of what I want to talk about today, even though I find it completely unnerving to talk to an audience with no immediate response. So forgive more than the usual, even awkwardness in my voice here. So show of hands, how many of you have been asked over the last week to stay home from your schools, your jobs, or to work remotely, to cancel attendance at events, or to cancel the events you had planned to run? All right, I forgot I can't actually see your hands, but I bet they're all up. To try and help and slow the spread of this disease so that people can more effectively be treated, we're all being asked to keep physical distance from each other and avoid convening large gatherings, social distancing. And that's why I'm not in the Boston FSF office with the rest of our team right now. And it's very sad for me, but it's what we have to do. We made the extremely difficult decision on Monday to move LibroPlanet fully online. And if we hadn't done that on Monday, then Massachusetts actually would have made us do it yesterday when the governor announced that large events in Massachusetts would be prohibited. There are many aspects of this situation where free software can help, and I'm sure it is helping, like research in labs or mapping the spread of the disease. But the area that I want to talk about today is what's happening with communication. So many people, organizations, institutions right now are scrambling to figure out how to work, learn, communicate while being at a physical distance. And they are not turning to free as in freedom software. They're turning to proprietary software. The platforms I'm not going to name because I don't want to give them the airtime. They're already getting plenty of airtime. But every solution that I've seen recommended in the general news and the institutional announcements over the last few weeks has been ethically unacceptable technology. They all rely on proprietary apps, proprietary operating systems, proprietary JavaScript in the browser, or all three. And then using those things, they talk to server code that is not distributed for anyone else to be able to see or replicate. So I know that first and foremost, we are in a public health crisis. And I understand the fact that there may be times when people inevitably have to give up some freedom in the interest of their health and safety, but not to just communicate with each other. We have to change the situation. We can't have people being forced to choose between their freedom while communicating with each other and the protection of their health and the health of their communities. In the FSF's perfect world, there is no such thing as proprietary software. And that's our mission, that all computer users need to be able to do everything they need to do on any computer using only free software in all circumstances, including communicating with each other at a time like this. So, of course, we want communication tools to be free software because we want all software to be free software. But communication tools are special. And they're special for a lot of reasons. One is that we in the free software movement are supposed to be experts at communication and collaboration and information sharing. It's how we work. And if we're dependent on proprietary software or private server tools to do these things, or if we can't provide free tools for others to do these things, we're really failing ourselves. Communication tools are also one of the main areas, even before this pandemic, where the freedoms of non-developer users, non-technical users, young people, and so many others are getting trampled, you know, just because they're the tools that so many people use every day. And they're some of the tools that have been the most guilty of abusing users in very tangible and documented ways. Also with communication, when we talk about the connection between software freedom and broader human freedom, this is one of the primary places where we should be looking and where we do look. We've gone from a world where nobody should be allowed to open your letters to your letters are opened all the time and sometimes even modified before they reach you. It's just a clear example of why you can't have a truly free society without free software. Using a free tool in general is a good way to get people introduced to free software ideals. It shows people that free software isn't a pipe dream. You know, it's something that exists, that the large companies that try to tell us that the only way to produce quality, secure software is through the model where one company owns all of it, and only one company can fix any of the security issues or make improvements to it. You know, it shows that those companies are wrong. And then if we were to give enough support to this other way of producing software, we would see real results. So anytime you can show somebody an effective free tool that does a job that they need done, it's a great conversation starter for free software adoption in general, because that is ultimately what we have to do, is not just get everybody using free software, but get everybody supporting and advocating for free software ideals. You know, that's how people will be able to actually meaningfully fight for their privacy, fight against surveillance, fight censorship, and protect their own security. I'll share just a few specific examples of how people are harmed and betrayed by reliance on proprietary tools. There are so many, and I think there are probably better ones than I have here, but I have a feeling that this audience is already well familiar with the bad things that happen on the communication platforms that are run by Facebook and Microsoft and Apple. So Facebook has said that even in private chat sessions, Facebook does review the messages. They say it's algorithms, not people. But whether it's algorithms or people that review your private conversations, they are no longer private conversations. And that's what matters for your freedom to choose who you're communicating with. So this means Facebook is not a neutral communication platform. It's not like the telephone where the phone company connects to you and then steps out of the way unless there's a warrant or some legal justification to allow someone to listen into your conversation. Facebook is actively mediating the conversations that people have through it. Likewise, Microsoft has said that they, in their terms, can ban things like offensive language on Xbox communication or in Skype. So what's clear from this is that they reserve the right to go through your private data. And these terms seem to pretty clearly allow them to watch and listen to your Skype calls so long as they are, quote, investigating, unquote, something. The terms don't appear to require any complaint to be filed against you, just that an employee decide that they want to investigate something. And I think this one in particular is surprising to people that aren't as familiar with these issues, because they tend to view Skype the same as a telephone service, and it's not. It's heavily mediated communication. We also see plenty of security issues in platforms like this. And you know, to highlight WhatsApp, which is of course connected to Facebook, and there's been vulnerabilities that have allowed people to divulge identities and messages that were meant to be private. And I know, as everyone will be quick to remind me, free software has security problems too. That's true. All software has security problems. But only free software provides security against the company or the developers who wrote the software. A third party being able to read your messages is a security problem. To proprietary companies and oppressive governments, it's a feature. To users, it's a security problem. It's been incredibly frustrating to see companies, in particular Apple, get so much praise for their security practices, even if they are better than other proprietary software companies. The ability of anyone else to vet those claims is very limited without access to the source code. And as far as I know, Apple still controls the public key infrastructure that their software uses, potentially enabling a lot of manipulations of even encrypted messages. The bottom line is, if other people can't fully audit the software and make changes to it and share those changes, it can never be truly secure. Free software is the baseline upon which other security best practices need to be built. Of course, at the Free Software Foundation, we reject all proprietary software, and that is also true for the communication tools that we use. This is something that is special about the Free Software Foundation, and that even the software that is just used operationally inside our organization, we work very hard to ensure that that's free software. And these are some of the communication tools that we use. Jitsi, which is what we've been using all day today to help stream the talks from speakers all over the world. IRC, some of us use Nextcloud for document sharing, and Etherpad for live document collaboration. And these are just a list of some of the things that we use. I know there's a lot of other tools out there, and some of these things we've had to tweak in order to remove proprietary JavaScript or remove recommendations for things that we don't want to recommend. But those tweaks themselves are possible by virtue of the fact that the software is free. And we've also looked at some other platforms that we might start using that want to give a shout out, like Mattermost, which is a good replacement for Slack. And I've seen a lot of people turning to Slack to do their workplace communication and other kinds of communication during this pandemic, so they might consider Mattermost instead. We looked at Matrix, which I've only used a little bit myself, but I've heard many great things about, and I know Mozilla uses it extensively. So these are the things that we use, and that gets me thinking about, you know, what my wish list for the perfect communication tool includes. And as I was making lists, I was realizing, well, you know, all these features don't have to be found in one program necessarily, but I think that they do need to be found in a suite of programs that work very smoothly together. So, you know, maybe you don't actually have to be able to do document collaboration in your communication platform, but you do need to be able to do those things together in a way that makes the experience work for users. So start with secure end-to-end encryption, keeping in mind who it's actually secure against, which is the advantage that free software has over proprietary software. We want these tools to be reproducibly built, which is a goal that the Reproducible Builds project has been working toward, to know that when you have a binary, you can tell that nobody has added anything to it. And you can also tell that the binary was actually built from the source code that came with it. So you can ensure the actual operation of the software in a true audit. Every tool now needs to have a mobile client. And by mobile, I don't just mean phone, but you know, it needs to work across all of the places where people use software now, their phone, their car, their tablet, their watch. You know, it's no longer just a phone or laptop or desktop issue. It's people want to be able to communicate from as many of their devices using the same platform as possible. Which leads me to having a web client while being careful about proprietary JavaScript and making sure to avoid that, because JavaScript is software that runs on your computer, and like all other software, should be free software. But web client is an excellent way just to provide good cross-platform support, mobile support, and to help future-proof the application against new developments in technology, because new things tend to still have web browsers or web functionality. Likewise, we want it to run on all major operating systems, and I do call GNU Linux a major operating system, of course. And even though we want everybody to ultimately be using GNU Linux or other free operating system, because the communication network effect and the communication platform need is so urgent, we really need software that can run on all the major operating systems, including the proprietary ones, so that we can build the network effect around free communication platforms and use that itself as a gateway, a step on the ladder towards moving everybody towards fully free operating systems underneath that. It needs to be able to show you puking rainbows. What do I mean by that? It needs to be fun, or allow for fun. These features I'm talking about are all very serious, and we're in serious times talking about serious business. But a lot of these communication platforms that we would like to see go away got a lot of their adoption because of fun features, communication, just normal communication, social communication between people. It's important to support that. It's how people get excited about the software, and it's an important part of being human. Voice and texts, obviously, but also being able to share multimedia or rich media, videos, photos, basically anything that can someone see on their screen, they want to be able to send to somebody else. And when we're talking about online learning, we need to be able to share information in a variety of formats, not just text. Transparency of algorithms. Facebook is dealing with real problems that have to do with abuse and harassment and child pornography and all sorts of other horrible things. Free platforms will also have to have ways to deal with that, and that may involve some sort of automated filtering. I don't know what the solution to that is, and I'm glad there are a lot of people working on it right now, but whatever the solution is, it needs to be transparent, published, and shared so that everybody can understand and see how it works, and not just be told that they have to trust a large self-interested corporate entity to look out for their freedom. It has to be reliable. There's nothing worse about a communication platform than missing or delayed messages. You send someone a message and you have no idea, they don't reply, and you have no idea if they got it. It needs to be able to support many simultaneous clients. So especially if you're talking about a classroom situation, to be able to have lots of people join all at once and communicate with each other, not just one-to-one. It should not have secret server infrastructure, even though at the FSF, we strongly defend freedom zero and the free software definition, the freedom to run the program for any purpose, and that includes on a server that you control. We do have to keep in mind how the dynamics work when users start doing their computing on somebody else's server. And also, when we're talking about the perfect tool will be one that publishes its server software, even if it's not ethically required to, because that way people can stand up new instances of the server, and it prevents people from getting locked into any single centralized place when combined with good practices with regard to data as well. Stability of the client application is extremely important, and I specifically want to highlight free machines here, because we've run into more and more problems with free software applications kind of outpacing the support that's provided on hardware that runs free software. So for example, if you are using one of the few machines that we have certified under our Respects Your Freedom certification program, one of the few laptops like the X200 I'm using now, you may have problems using applications like Jitsi or other even free software video conferencing applications, just because of the computing power that's required. And we need to address that on both fronts. We need to get manufacturers to start providing free software support for their hardware upfront. I hope everybody complains every time they buy a computer where that's not the case. But we also need to, in the free software world, do the best that we can to make sure that the experience of the software can match the computing power of the newest fully free devices, even if it's a different kind of experience. And we do need an attractive interface and user experience. I think, you know, just because it runs in Emacs doesn't mean that the UI is enough. And I'm saying this from someone who did write a mobile communication interface in Emacs for the OpenMoko years ago. We have to provide an interface that works for users of all kinds and do user experience testing in order to achieve that. Ability to destroy messages quickly is important for security and privacy reasons. And then the last one is just that we need to listen to users when we're developing these applications. That's just so important and something that maybe we haven't done as well as we could in free software in general. So we need to develop software. That's an obvious way that we need to move forward on this. But even with what we have now, I want to talk about ways that you can help. First, do your best to reject non-free tools in all situations. And it does get incredibly difficult. I know because at the FSF, we have to do it all of the time, including situations where people are asking us to join conference calls on Zoom or to you know, look at documents, proprietary formats, and we always push back on that. And you'll be surprised how willing people are to work with you when you do that, if you do it in a way that's understanding of their needs as well. But we do still, if we don't take a stand, if we don't let people know, then the momentum just keeps going. We need to please encourage others to try free tools to communicate with you. I've seen, I think, sometimes a defeatist attitude where people will think that it's hopeless because people won't. They'll only use the tools that everybody else is already using. But if you stop and list the number of tools that are popular, it's a lot. And a lot of people are using all of them. So I think we have more potential than we recognize to get people trying out some of the free software applications that are already out there, even if it's not the ones that they're used to. So I encourage you to encourage others to try them with you. Please help fund free tools and the organizations that are supporting them. We need software to be developed for sure. It needs to be getting better and maintained all the time. And that takes funding and resources. And that can't happen without you. If we don't have that from individuals, then the software will most likely continue to not serve individual interests or freedom. We need to contribute code, documentation, testing, and whatever area you might have a skill set in that you can apply. Please look for needs in this area of communication software. And if you are a developer and or a contributor, try to use more copyleft whenever you can. A lot of these proprietary applications actually depend on free software. Free software is what made them possible in some senses, because it was free software written under a permissive license that could be combined with proprietary software. You can help change that if you use more copyleft for your software in this area and help build worlds of communication tools that can't be pulled out from underneath us as easily. The FSF will continue to help in this area with the ways that we provide to help free software development and advancement, such as fiscal sponsorship. Projects can work with us in order to fundraise for themselves and pay for developer resources or developer contracting, whatever they need to use money for, they can raise that in partnership with us. We will provide infrastructure that's consistent with free software principles so that projects don't have to be hosted on proprietary platforms. Free software programs, free software communication programs especially, should be hosted on free platforms. Code hosting platforms end up being a form of communication software and are used in many educational environments, so they need to be free as well. We can provide the guidance and advice and help set the goalposts, you know, like we work very hard to do in other areas. We can help projects recruit, make connections between people that are willing to help and people that need and projects that need help. We can help with licensing to help people figure out how to make different pieces work together or choose the right license for their new project. We can bring attention to projects that are making exciting progress and help them get users and help them get media coverage. And of course, I would love to help with funding more, and we will do that if we can. But these are things that we've been doing, and so far, you know, in this time, I think we're gonna have to do more. And so I want to announce that this week we'll be rolling out a working group on communication freedom, free software communication technology. So this working group will include a combination of people from the FSF and experts working in their related fields. And together, we'll start by identifying and publicly documenting the problems in this area that need to be solved. And then we'll work to connect the people who can solve those problems with the resources they need to do it. That will, of course, include directing funding, but also things like hosting and other infrastructure, people power, user testing, whatever resources are needed. And the overall goal here will be to have free platforms developed, documented, deployed, and advocated to meet the use case needs that we're seeing, especially during this pandemic. For sure, we know this includes virtual events like this one, online education, like what students in universities and public schools all across the country and well across the United States, all across Europe and in Asia are being forced to turn to online education. That needs to be free, and workplace communication. So virtual events, online education, workplace communication. And these are needs that are, they have been steadily increasing over time. They've just become acute in this context of extreme social distancing. But they're not going to, these needs aren't going to go anywhere. This pandemic will get under control, but we're still going to need these things. We're still going to need these kinds of tools going forward after that. And you know, hopefully we can move on this fast enough to make a difference now, but we shouldn't view it as something that's only important now. I'm sure that the FSF will provide some of these resources ourselves, but we're going to be calling on you and the organizations that you work for to help. That's going to take a lot of resources to make this happen. You can join as a member now to help support getting this work going. That's at fsf.org/join. If this is an idea that you want to see happen and if you want to see this succeed, we need your support. And then please stay tuned for information coming out this week about how you can help more. We need to do this right now, not just for our current emergency, but for the future of our kids' education, the freedom of all of our future social interactions. We can't have the outcome of this emergency be more and more people be locked into communication platforms that don't respect their freedom for the foreseeable future. I hope you help us. Thank you. Thank you very much. And now I would like to hand the mic back to Zoe to give you some closing remarks. And I hope to see all of you online again tomorrow. Thank you.